Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. A quick reminder, head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you're listening today with the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in this episode. When you go to the podcast page on my website, classtechtips.com, don't forget to check out the free stuff section full of graphic organizers, ebooks, and more goodies you can download instantly. This episode is sponsored by EdTech Essentials, the top 10 technology strategies for all learning environments, my newest book from ASCD. Readers will find timely and accessible lesson ideas and strategies. EdTech Essentials shares ways to prepare students to be productive, responsible users of technology, both within and outside the classroom. Find EdTech Essentials on Amazon or head over to classtechtips.com to learn more and download the free study guide. A quick note about Amazon, if you search for me, Monica Burns, on Amazon, you'll see some spicy books from an author with the same name as me. So if you head to my website, you'll find more information about the book and a direct link to find EdTech Essentials on Amazon. This week's episode is titled Best Practices for Using Technology to Support Multilingual Learners with Valentina Gonzalez. I'm really excited for you to listen in to Valentina and my conversation today. She has some great content online. We connected on social media. I saw one of her articles for Edutopia and invited Valentina on the podcast so we could unpack this term, multilingual learners, and think about how to go beyond the surface level with using technology to support this group of students. She shares some favorite EdTech tools, of course, but we really dive into the strategies and the choices classroom teachers and educators can make to support this population of students. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation, and it hopefully will get your wheels spinning about how to best support multilingual learners. All right. Well, I am just so excited to chat with you today about this topic of using technology to support multilingual learners. And before we jump in, I'm hoping that you can share a little bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Thank you. Yes, I'm really excited to be here too. And, you know, my day kind of, it changes from day to day. Basically, you know, I've been in education for over 20 years now. So I've done a variety of things, been in classrooms, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade as my own classroom, and then as an ESL co-teacher, and worked also at the administrative level as a PD specialist and as an ESL facilitator. So a lot of my work has been with ESL English learners, multilingual learners, but now I work as a consultant solely. So I work with Seidlitz Education, and I do a lot of trainings. I coach, go into classrooms, work with teachers, help support teachers with sheltered instruction to support multilingual learners in their own classrooms.
Wonderful. And, you know, you shared with us, you know, already, right, how your role has evolved and the different kinds of work that you do. And you mentioned a few terms, one of which I want to make sure we unpack for listeners who might have heard the term before or used different terms in the past. And I know, and as I mentioned in the intro here, you know, you use this term when you are writing your Edutopia article, right? Specifically, which is, you know, how we first connected or how I first learned about your work. So as we talk about this topic of supporting multilingual learners today, who are our multilingual learners? Can you help us unpack that term?
Yes, that's a really good question because the terms change over the years. Mm-hmm. So when I first started teaching, we were using the term ESOL, and some states mm-hmm. still use that term completely, right. And that's totally fine. So ESOL and ESL is more of like the program that we use. English as a second language is the program. And we think of our ELLs, our English language learners, or ELs, English learners, as the people in those programs. And that's kind of a formal term that's been used here lately in the past years to describe our students in K to 12 classrooms that have a home language other than English. However, it's a little bit of a deficit-based term. Mm-hmm. It's focusing more on what they can't do yet. And so more recently, we've recognized that when we use a term such as multilingual learners, mm-hmm. we're focusing on their assets. They are coming to us with a language and literacy. They're coming to us with a great deal, and we're just adding more to it. So we're adding more to their plates. So multilingual learner is a more recent term that we're using to describe the same children, these K to 12 students that are in our classrooms who are adding English to their repertoires.
And that's such an important distinction, right? When we think about our word choice, right, our own language choice, mm-hmm. when talking about what students are able to do and what we may be able supporting them with growing here, right? But they are definitely coming in with a lot of assets, right? As you said, right, shifting from what may feel like a deficit-based description, right, of where a student might be. And, you know, as we think a lot about here on the Easy Ed Tech podcast about using technology in different ways, making it easier for us to address different things that happen in classroom settings or schools and districts. You know, there's a lot of ways to approach a very big question of how can you use technology to support multilingual learners? So maybe we can start with what has changed in the past 10 or 5 years when it comes to using technology with this group of students.
Yeah, there have been a lot of changes in the past 5 to 10 years with technology and multilingual learners because, you know, technology changes so quickly. Week to week, there are so many changes in technology. But when we're thinking about our multilingual learners, I just remember when we first started getting laptops or iPads in our classrooms, and how are we going to use these with our multilingual learners, especially as an ESL co-teacher, and I was pushing into classrooms or taking our newcomer students out and working with them with English language development. How am I going to use these to really maximize their linguistic development? 5 to 10 years ago, we really didn't know how to maximize the use of this technology. We were using them more as like dictionaries, translations, mm-hmm. really the surface level at that time. And I'm just speaking, you know, based off my own experiences and what I was seeing districts and district wide. But the struggle was real. Like, how are we going to take this and really make sure that students were growing and not just putting students on apps, mm-hmm. not putting our multilingual learners on apps or on programs while the rest of the class was enriched in collaborative conversations and research and doing great things. And our multilingual learners are stuck on a program that wasn't really effective for them. So, for me and for a lot of people that I work with, one of the biggest shifts came from a resource that we got a hold of called ELL Frontiers, using technology to enhance instruction for English learners. This is a book by Heather Paris, Lisa Estrada, and one of my friends, Andrea Honigsfeld, that if you're in the ELL world, multilingual world, you'll know Andrea for sure. She's a pleasure. And so are these other co-authors of hers. But they brought to light the value that technology can give us to really make sure that we're using it as a way to help students linguistically in our classrooms, so that technology is not just a way for us to provide students with something that they can do on a worksheet and just transfer it, you know, to the computer, but we're actually giving them spaces to create.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that changed the way we began to use technology with our multilingual learners.
And I really, you know, I appreciate you talking about that shift from the surface level, right? Right. Yes, like there is something great about that ease and efficiency or certain things that we can get a quick win for. And that's great, but it's not it. It might be the first step into using technology, but then there's this potential to go so much further. And, you know, I want to ask you a little bit about different kind of grade levels, elementary, secondary. I taught elementary school, upper elementary school for a number of years with many students coming through my doors who would, you know, we would consider English language learners, right, at that time. And one of the things that was so transformative about using technology in my classroom, you know, is there's students who, you know, really during certain parts of the day felt more confident with their language and vocabulary use, right? You know, usually math was a friendly time for a few of my students who might struggle with reading and writing as they are acquiring and mastering a new language. And so when we would have to write about math, right? Or how did you solve this problem, right? All of those reading and writing feelings from the first half of our day would come up in the afternoon. And, you know, I loved using screencasting tools so kids could draw out the shapes of a triangle, right? Talk about all, like they knew all the vocabulary, but it was just that pencil to paper kind of confidence piece that we really needed to build. So, you know, in an elementary classroom, I gave that kind of math example for my experience, but where, you know, teachers have the same group of students typically all day teaching all subject areas, what are some ways that they can use technology to support multilingual learners during different parts of the day?
There really are a lot of different ways, different programs and apps and electronic means to make sure that students are getting the most out of technology and that we're utilizing it to our advantages. Really, there are three things that we're looking for when we're thinking about, is there a use for this technology? And it's not just about using the technology. It's more about like centering students in the instruction. So when I think about using technology with multilingual learners, I'm thinking about, is this going to improve the outcome? Is this use of technology going to improve the outcome for my multilingual learners? Is it going to increase linguistic outcome for my students? Are they going to gain reading, writing, listening, or speaking through this piece of technology? And then also, how am I cultivating some type of digital citizenship?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing to create and advance their digital citizenship? So three things, and this is something I learned from the book, The ELL Frontiers, that I was sharing with you, those authors that I mentioned earlier. The goal itself is not the technology. Mm-hmm. The goal is, you know, that academic, linguistic, and that digital citizenship. If I'm looking through those lenses, then I'm seeking out technology that's going to support those three things. And then that technology really becomes kind of an invisible piece of the instruction. It's the focus isn't the technology. Mm-hmm. It's about the language and the academics that's happening in the classroom. And the Bloom's taxonomy is literally flipped upside down. Mm-hmm. It's not about, you know, our kids remembering the facts. It's about, what are they creating? What are they thinking? How are they analyzing and synthesizing information and putting it together? So, you know, there are a lot of tools I can name for you, but the mm-hmm. tools are always changing, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Jamboard is so awesome. It's so fun and collaborative, but tomorrow it's going to be something new.
Yeah. And just like you said, right, it's really the feature piece, right? Is there collaboration? Is it easy for us mm-hmm. to use? Does it integrate with some of the other mm-hmm. routines that we're doing? So, you know, I love that digital citizenship connection, the higher order thinking piece, that Bloom's connection that you made, right? Which of course would apply to secondary students, right? In addition to elementary school students.
Yes.
You know, and I'm wondering, when you work with secondary educators and they are very content area specific, or mm-hmm. they're seeing a lot of students, right? Their day is just organized differently, going a deep dive into different subjects. You know, are there certain strategies that you recommend to all secondary educators? Maybe it mirrors some of those pieces you mentioned already, or are there things that you really love to share with a secondary teacher who's working within a particular subject area?
I think when we're working with secondary educators and secondary multilingual learners, the focus really has to be on the secondary student. Mm-hmm. It's his or herself. Who are these students? Where are they coming to us from? What are their strengths? What are their lived experiences? When we start with the students first, then we're going to be able to form that instruction and guide them further as far as next steps in what they need in technology and also in supporting their multilingual learner in that use of technology. But definitely collaboration is key. Mm-hmm. Relatedness, you know, when we're thinking about especially those secondary students that are multilingual learners, typically those are students that are newcomers, because if you're a secondary student you're multilingual learner, then you're either A, a newcomer, mm-hmm. or you're B, a long-term English learner. And that's another label that is a little bit of a deficit base, mm-hmm. but it's a common term. And so when we're thinking about newcomer students and also long-term English learners, we have to really be cognizant about what we're giving them in their educational diet. It has to be related, has to be something they're going to be passionate about. It has to be something that they're going to want to do, or else it's just not going to stick and they're not going to gain anything from it. So those are some key things to consider. And when we're embedding technology in that, I always think about game-based mm-hmm. technology, collaboration, giving them choice. Those are always key things. In secondary classrooms, there's also a lot of lecture involved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying all day long is a lecture, but when it is a lecture and we have newcomer students or long-term English learners, if we can use some type of Nearpod or mm-hmm. the other one, Pear Deck,
yeah.
so that they're seeing it and following along, this is always a win for them. This is going to be helpful for them. If multimodal mm-hmm. and multimedia videos with captions,
yeah.
things that they can replay, flipped learning, mm-hmm. we want to be able to have them discover the learning and uncover it themselves. So if I can have them watch a video with the captions and then do some type of collaborative response with their peers, using Flipgrid or some other type of platform where they're discussing or writing together before the lesson in the classroom, then I'm building background mm-hmm. and it gives them the opportunity to replay if it's a video or podcast, like ListenWise offers yep. podcasts. So with a lot of related material that students like, it's age appropriate. So secondary is also really good with that.
I love all of those strategies that you paired with a tool, right? It's not just trying Nearpod or Pear Deck, but having that visual in front is really what's going to make the difference, right? Or make an impact or move the needle, right? Having videos where captions are able to turn on and not keeping that link to yourself, but sharing it with students so they can watch it beforehand, maybe yeah. afterwards, maybe independently at a blended learning station yeah. and replay, and just building those pieces alongside some different tools. And, you know, Flipgrid that you mentioned, those features for being on or off camera, using audio, mm-hmm. even with the immersive reader integration that's built into that piece. Yeah. I mean, yes. it's really wild, you know, to watch all the things that Microsoft Education has done with Microsoft Translator for family meeting, right? It's just really wild to think about what that looks like now as, you know, as opposed to what we started off talking with, right? The more surface levels, you know, it's really these great features that you mentioned are just powerful. So, you know, I'm wondering if there's just one thing an educator can do after our conversation today, maybe it's one of the things that you mentioned already or something different, you know, what step should they take?
I'm going to say one thing to avoid is just putting them on a program and leaving them to do it on their own. And it still happens today and it's super sad and it breaks my heart. So to do instead is put them in those collaborative groups, maybe even try that flipped learning so they're building background before the lesson. So even if you're not doing that with the whole class, give them a link to watch a video. Tell them to turn those captions on, have them watch it multiple times, or if it's a podcast, have them listen to it multiple times. If it's available in their native language, their home language, don't be afraid to let them listen to it or watch it in their native language. Native language is absolutely an asset. Let them read it in their native language. It's okay. Language is an asset, so we can build upon that.
Such an important reminder, and really appreciate this actionable information that you shared with us today, right? These next steps that listeners can take, whether they are supporting multilingual learners themselves or they're working with educators, right, who are supporting multilingual learners in their classrooms. So, so appreciative of your time today. And before we officially finish up, where can people connect with you? I'll include some links here in the show notes for listeners, but where can they learn more about your work?
Definitely the best place to connect with me is on Twitter at Valentina ESL. That's probably where I'm at the most. I do have a Facebook group called Advocating for ELLs. We've got, I think, over 10,000 people on that Facebook group. So if you feel lonely and you want a community to help you learn more about strategies for working with multilingual learners, that's a great safe place because it's a private group and we don't share any information that's, you know, you can ask any kind of question there about teaching multilingual learners and it's a safe place to talk.
Wonderful. Well, we'll include links to all this in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It was great being here.
Chatting with Valentina was so much fun. She shared a lot of really actionable information and ways to think about technology tools. And I want to finish up this episode like we always do with a quick wrap up on ways to make this edtech easy. First, get to know your multilingual learners. Next, go beyond surface level technology integration. Then, incorporate student choice. Finally, connect to student experiences. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all the ways to connect with Valentina, at classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 160. This episode is sponsored by EdTech Essentials, the top 10 technology strategies for all learning environments, my newest book from ASCD. Readers will find timely and accessible lesson ideas and strategies. EdTech Essentials shares ways to prepare students to be productive, responsible users of technology, both within and outside the classroom. Find EdTech Essentials on Amazon or head over to classtechtips.com to learn more and download the free study guide. A quick note about Amazon, if you search for me, Monica Burns, on Amazon, you'll see some spicy books from an author with the same name as me. So if you head to my website, you'll find more information about the book and a direct link to find EdTech Essentials on Amazon.
If you have a moment to leave a review, I would super appreciate it. I read every single review that comes through on the different podcast platforms. I keep my eyes peeled for any questions that come in there too. So if you have a moment, please leave a star rating or type in a quick review. Not only do I appreciate it so much, but it also helps boost the podcast in search engines, meaning other educators will find it when they search for EdTech Tips.